Hey everybody, Joe Diesel here. Welcome back to the Day with the Hour of Power.
And this is Jesse.
Hey Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Got chased down by a cyborg from the future, thinking that I was some kind of resistance leader, but then he saw that I was fat. Went away.
Well, that's good for you then, and good for us that you're not the resistance leader.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it sounded cool when he was, like, going to kill me and stuff.
All right. Well, we have here a great show, we think. We're big fans of this film series, and this year marks the 30th anniversary of the first movie, which is...
The Terminator.
That's right, The Terminator. So, wow, that was... Wow, that was 1984. 30 years, can you believe that?
Yeah, I was 8 years old when it originally came out. I think I saw it when I was 8 years old for the first time on HBO.
Yeah, I remember that too. I remember going to school when everybody talked about the Terminator, hearing about the Terminator movie, because cable TV was relatively new at that time. And, you know, like you, we had gotten it and watched it also.
I think that movie, because I was reading a lot of the what I read, didn't have a huge theatrical release. I think a lot of people, that's how they saw that movie. Or at the, and it's also the during the time of the original VHS coming out and things like that. So those were two of the reasons that people saw that movie. It's probably one of the first... videotape or cable hit that has fallen sequel.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. Well, that let's see. How do you think that fared at the box office? Let me see if I have the numbers here. 78. Budgeted at $6.4 million, so that's really not bad. That's a good take.
Yeah.
Came out October 26, 1984. So. And another reason we're thinking about this also, they have announced a fifth Terminator, which has a release date of 2015.
Yeah.
So they were 1 year off from that. But anyway, we both have said the first Terminator movie we saw was the first Terminator. So there are four Terminator movies out right now that you can watch. There's a television show. I've never seen a television show, I'll just say right now. Have you ever seen
that? Oh, Sarah Jane Chronicles?
Yeah.
I watched the first season, but it's a hard show to get into. Not a good show. It really is not a
it's
good
not
show.
Good?
Well, for one thing, one of the guys from Beverly Hills 90210 comes back as a resistance fighter. It's like, oh, look.
So which... Beverly Hills 90210, the original run?
Yeah, it was, what was that kid's name? Brian Austin Green?
Oh, wow.
He comes back and he's one of the resistance fighters. And, of course, Lena Headey, who's now in Game of Thrones, played Sarah Jane in the Sarah Jane Chronicles, and Summer Glau from Firefly was the Terminator, the cyborg. Which was a huge change from the usual Arnold Schwarzenegger big dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about the first movie. I mean, that's the one that sold us on the franchise. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I can't remember my first impressions of it other than I really liked it. What about you?
I remember never ever seeing someone that big like that for my life. As Schwarzenegger was. And it kind of was, I wasn't scared, but it was intimidating seeing that huge, you know, person just going out and killing everybody. It's like, oh my God, you know. I wasn't scared, though. It was intimidating. Most people remember the I'll be back scene.
Yeah. That's obviously the most famous line. He's used it in, I think, every single film he's been in since.
I believe so. And, of course, the other line that's always used in Terminator movies is, come with me if you want to live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because Kyle says,
You gotta have it in every movie.
Yeah. But like the I'll Be Back line, Schwarzenegger didn't want to say that.
Oh, what did he want to say?
He said he wanted to say I will be back, because he says as a robot he would not use any, you know, contractions or anything like that. So he'd say I will be back, but Cameron talked him into it. He said you gotta say I'll be back, and it's gonna work. But the thing I always remember most that movie is the scene within the hotel room where that guy asks he curses at him. Because that,
yeah,
you know, here's the thing that really kind of makes me laugh is that as a robot, you would think that's more of an emotional answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I as an actor, I would think Schwarzenegger would have fought that more, but, you know.
Well, yeah, by that time in the movie, he had encountered some humans, and he had recorded their responses to him.
Right.
So I think one of the things the Terminator does, I don't think that's explained in this movie, though, is it learns and adapts. And I think that was a good sign of that.
One of the things I really like about the Terminator movie is great action, has great action. Got a nice story to it. Good acting. But it introduces us to a lot of actors, because never heard of Schwarzenegger before that movie.
Yeah, that really, I mean, he had done Conan.
Mm.
He had done The Villain, which if you haven't seen him in The Villain.
He's great, The Villain.
It's a great movie. It's fun. It's got Kirk Douglas in it. It's like Wile E. Coyote movie.
Yeah.
It's like a Wile E. Coyote movie, but it's a Western, so
well, Conan the
there you go.
Conan the Barbarian, he was signed to do that, and he was also signed to do The Terminator, so they had to push back The Terminator so he could be in it and Conan. But also, like, Bill Paxton's in it.
Yeah, Bill Paxton is in it.
Lance Anderson's
in it. You even have an appearance from Paul Winfield.
Mm-hmm.
And you would remember him at that time from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Oh, we had just had a listener tell us that in Terminator 3, he says, she'll be back.
Yeah.
Well, all right, thank you.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, that's right. He does say that there. But I think in every other movie, he does say that.
Yeah.
I'll be back. But, yeah, that's a good point there, the people we're introduced to.
Mm.
Is and the cast is great. Michael Biehn, I think he's great in that movie too.
Oh, Michael Biehn
is in particular that scene where he's so intense in that scene, the interrogation scene.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great moment too when he goes, "Why am I talking to you? Why am I not talking to somebody in authority?" And
yeah.
Then he looks up at the camera, and the doctor's like, "Whoa!" He knows there's a camera there. You can see the expression on his face.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Talking to the same doctor that's in.
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2, yeah.
But, yeah, they expanded his role a little bit in Terminator 2, and that was great.
Who would have thought that? Because that, really, if you think about that role in that movie, it's kind of a throwaway role. He's just there to kind of impede their process, but, you know.
Yeah, he's an obstacle. It is a throwaway role.
It is a throwaway role, but I think Cameron being smart, like he as well, because he knew he survived that police shootout,
yeah.
He could actually bring him back for the next movie and kind of connect the movies, you know, in a more detailed way. Of course, this is, you know, Cameron's first film, but it's actually his first, I would say his first real film. But he had done Piranha 2, The Spawning before this. But this is like his first child, I guess. First one they hit.
Yeah, this is the movie that put James Cameron on Aliens.
Well, he, interesting fact, since he had to wait for Arnold, he decided he wanted to do something to fill the time gap that he had, and met with Walter Hill and I can't remember the other guy's name who produced those movies. You'll have to help me out with that later. Met with them, and they hired him to write Aliens. So he wrote Aliens during the time he was waiting for Conan to be done.
Oh, that's cool.
Which, you know, that's for another show.
Yeah, the whole we could do a whole show on each Alien movie. And
yeah, especially that movie. That's one of my favorite movies.
Especially Aliens, because and when we get to, let's talk a little bit about this right now, because since James Cameron made Aliens, and Aliens is a sequel to a great science fiction film, Alien, and he made Terminator 2.
Right.
Terminator 2, in my mind, is one of the greatest sequels ever made.
I agree with that, yeah.
And in my mind, is one of the few times when a sequel is actually better than the original. There's not a whole lot. We can name some. But there's not a lot.
But in a lot of ways, that T2 movie is so much bigger than that original Terminator movie.
Yeah.
With budget, with special effects, with just him and his growth as a director being an older,
Exactly. And as we were talking earlier in the week about it, The Terminator by itself is a great movie, and if it was the only, only one that came out of this, it still would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But Terminator 2, I think, is also a great example of how you, and I think you were touching on this, how you learn from what you had done before and you build on it.
Right.
You don't just throw more of the same out there.
Right.
He built on it at that time, and he built on what he had done in there, and that's why I think T2 is better. Just because of that, because he learned from that, and it could have been such a throwaway movie, but it wasn't. And you could actually see everything in that.
It's not extremely different from the first movie.
Yeah, and it is still simple, really.
The whole
core is simple.
I mean, it has bigger action scenes, but the storyline is still as, I don't want to say simpler, but it's still kind of like in that mold for a storyline. Because you would think after, he does first Alien, then Alien. You think that every studio in town is like, you should make Terminators,
Yeah.
And have thousands of them running around.
Yeah, they might do that. And I think Aliens is another movie where, now I love Aliens, and I love Aliens, but I think Alien is still the best one in that series. But Aliens, there you can make a case that one is the best in that series, and because it is a great movie all by itself.
Yeah.
Even if there was no Alien movie before, it's still great. I think he does the same thing in Aliens that he did with Terminator 2. He took Alien and built on Alien.
Right.
He built on that whole thing that Ridley Scott had done. And he didn't, he didn't belittle anything that was done in there. You know, he wasn't disrespectful to any of it or like, well, that was stupid. I'm not going to do any of that.
Right.
He built on it, built on the mythology a little bit, and he made a great movie in its own right with Aliens.
Right.
But, yeah, like you said, we could do that. So that's for that, so.
I see how you connect it to your point about Terminator 2, because, Terminator, he, because in a terrible way, you can't have Aliens without the Alien movie. You can't have Terminator 2, Judgment Day, without the first Terminator. Because he does a lot of, really cool stuff with it. Because he makes it so that there's no grandfather paradox. And usually when you watch movies about time travel, you're like, oh, what's that happen? There's no reason for them to go back in time and do all that.
Yeah.
They didn't really change the future. They just altered it a little bit. So it's like the timelines are kind of messed up where, okay, this is where we're going to, the nuclear war didn't happen in 84. Like it was supposed to happen. It was actually later, after John was born. So you remember right in the first movie, he tells her, a couple of months isn't going to happen.
Yeah, he does say that. In the first one, and we'll talk about this for a little bit too. At the end of Terminator 2, we've all seen Terminator 2, and if you haven't seen it, stop listening and go watch Terminator 2.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with you if you haven't seen it and you're listening to the show.
If you follow somebody who has seen Terminator 2, you've done an amazing job in the first one.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of that, they've destroyed Cyberdyne. They think they've destroyed enough of the evidence, but then when they do make number 3, that's where they you find out, oh, it's just pushed back. So you're right. Yeah, they don't mess with that. They just push things back, and it's all just delayed, which a lot of people are down on 3.
Yeah.
I think 3 is a little bit better than people give it credit for.
Right.
So what do you think about 3? We'll just talk a little bit about 3 right now.
I do like 3. I think it's fun. I mean, we can admit that the second one's heavy.
Yeah.
Kind of heavy-handed.
Second one is pretty heavy. There's a lot of heaviness going on in there. You can see that. I think Linda Hamilton portrays that extraordinarily well.
There's a lot of melodrama. There's a little bit more of a melodrama feel to the second one with, him and the kid and things like that. And there's those scenes. Where the third one's just, start, stop, doesn't have any kind of like those getting to end, no stopping.
Yeah.
Fun. It's just a fun film.
Yeah.
And I think Michael Biehn, and this is probably the most perfect line he could write in Terminator, the first Terminator movie. Michael Biehn tells her that these are possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And
she does ask him that. He says, that's one possible future. I don't know. I'm not that into that stuff.
Like when he tells the guy, I didn't build the machine. I can't explain it to you. I didn't build it. I just bought it, you know?
Yeah, and that's the great scene when the doctor's making fun of him and asking him, well, why doesn't it bring it? Why don't you have a ray gun with you?
Yeah. In Terminator 3, I think the problem that people have with Terminator 3 is that once Cameron wasn't involved in it, he didn't write it, he didn't direct it. But Cameron also has no problem with that movie being made.
Yeah, exactly.
Schwarzenegger told the studio, he goes, I will not do this movie without James Cameron. There's no way I'll do this movie without James Cameron. James Cameron was, why? He goes, Terminator is yours. And James Cameron goes, no, it's ours. Even more yours than mine. But do the movie, ask for a lot of money. Be happy. And that's what once he got that permission, Schwarzenegger went up there. We could probably go on for hours about Schwarzenegger, the movie he's done. But,
oh, yeah. He is like multiple shows unto himself.
I like that respect that he has.
I do, too. You don't get a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of times nowadays, you know. I'm just going to exploit this for what it is.
But, he's never talked bad about Terminator 3, anywhere. He's never said, oh, I hate that movie or the crap movie. It's fun.
Yeah. I agree. It's fun. It's got a lot of great action in it.
Yeah.
We just had a listener say it's got his favorite car chase scene in it.
Yeah, with the trucks, with hanging on the side of that crane.
Yeah, that is a great chase.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great action in it. I thought it was interesting what they did with the TX. They sort of combined the
T-1000 and the...
Yeah, into that and tried to make a better machine, a better killing machine.
Yeah.
But let's go back to number one a little bit here. Number one, I mean, the effects in that, let's talk a little bit about that. It had... there was some stop motion in that. There was some model work. And who's the guy that they went to help do that?
That's actually one of Stan Winston's creature effect shop movies.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, that's one of the movies that really put
definitely kind of on the map.
Propelled Stan Winston. So not only did it propel James Cameron, Schwarzenegger, and some of the other actors, but also put Stan Winston.
Yeah. It's kind of odd, though, when you look at those three people. They're connected in a lot of ways. Going off beat path there, but Predator isn't Predator without Schwarzenegger. And actually James Cameron.
Yeah, there's that. Go ahead and tell that story. I don't know, in case people don't know that story, that's a great story.
So Stan Winston was having trouble developing the looks for the Predator. So he went to James Cameron because him and James Cameron are the princes. Having so much trouble, I don't know what to do, and that's when James Cameron says, "Mandibles, I'd love to see mandibles on a monster." And then you get that great, great monster, Predator.
Yeah, and so, Predator, that's another show all by itself.
Yeah, another show by itself. But as an example, those three, of course, Winston comes back. He was involved with the first three movies.
Yeah,
but he did all the effects for. Terminator 3 2. Great job.
Yeah.
And we watched that little documentary where he said, the first movie, we had a built model, and they got a little bit better. We had the CGI. He goes, and the third movie, we were building robots.
The full robots.
Yeah, full robots.
What was the name of that robot? It was one of the. That's another thing that's cool about the third movie is you do get. It's called Rise of the Machines. You do get to see the machine.
You get to see more of
the first of them. Yeah, I forget the name of that. Robot.
It's T1.
It's one of the early ones. It's probably the T1, but it's the one that's on those tank treads. It's a small one, not the big one that you see in the first movie. It's a smaller one that goes around the hallways.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you haven't seen 3, you should give 3 a chance if you've heard people
badmouth it.
Give it a chance in its own right. It's really entertaining. I can't stress that.
It is really, Michael Biehn called those on the track. He calls them hunter killers.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
So,
But this is like a small hunter killer that can go around in hallways. But yeah, they built full functioning robots in that one. And now, didn't you get to, around that time, get to actually meet Sam Winston?
Yeah, I did actually meet Sam Winston. Great guy. We were at the Fango Week of the Horrors. Didn't know what year that it was, the year Terminator 3 came out.
2003 was Terminator 3.
So it was in 2003. That came out, and he had this produced Wrong Turn.
Wrong Turn was great. That's another show all by itself.
And I didn't have anything for him to sign. And I was like, but then they were like, well, he's giving stuff away. And I had a pass, a big flyer pass, to go see Wrong Turn. But he gave everybody, everybody's getting one. Come down to the theater tomorrow and see Wrong Turn. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
For one, you're getting a free,
a free movie.
Yeah. And when we got there, the Japanese family, my couple, was in front of us. And they had a bunch of stuff. They had, like, tons of stuff. And when they got up there, the security guard who was up at the table said, you can only sign two things. And he looked at that lady, and he got up and said, he goes, I'll sign everything they have. He goes, I'll sit here until we're done. He goes, those are my fans, and they pay me money. They're the reasons why I'm here, and they're the reasons why I make money. I'm signing everything.
That is really cool.
And not only did he sign everything, but he had a poster for Terminator 3 there, and a poster for Wrong Turn. And he signed both of those, too. And that's what I got signed, is I got signed a Terminator 3 poster and a Wrong Turn poster. So, great guy. Amazing effects man.
Yes.
I would say he's done a lot to change the game of making effects.
Yeah.
Not only with the Terminator movies and but Jurassic Park and all that.
Pumpkinhead.
Great director.
He actually directed that.
Yeah.
And Lance Henriksen was in that.
Yep. It was in the original Terminator. But his work, especially when you look at our friend Dave Patrick, who is a makeup artist, was telling us today, he goes, when you look at that first Terminator movie, where he was in a foam latex, and he actually had, like, the head.
Yeah, when the head where Arnold got to do surgery on his eye.
Right.
Yeah, he was telling us, if you watch that one and then watch two, you can see
the progression
and leaps and bounds they made with the model head.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can look at it now, and you can tell it's a model, and you give it a pass.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not a bad model either. I mean, it really isn't, but you can tell it's a model. But he's a robot
right.
at the same time. But yeah, in two, it looks awesome. You can tell that. I think we'll go to two now, because for a little bit, and just talk about, because we watched a documentary earlier about the impact two actually had on
had a lot, yeah.
And you kind of forget that now, but I remember when 2 came out, I went to see it in the theater when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was amazing.
It was cool.
About that. Did you get to see that in the theater? You ran out to see it?
I did see it in the theaters. I believe I saw that, I don't want to say the weekend it came out, but I saw it within the first couple of weeks. I like special effects, but I don't think of them as effects. You know? When I watch a movie, I get so engrossed in the movie, I think of them as just part of the movie. You know, I think, I kind of spend my disbelief and everything's real. You know, for that little time. But I remember seeing The Abyss, not too far before that, but watching how that had progressed, and the water effect, that liquid metal. And him turning into people, and then it was amazing. I've never seen anything like that before in their life. But what sells you on that movie isn't that liquid guy. That has a great story.
Yeah, exactly. A great story, great executed action sequences.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, what you just said, it's a great story.
Yeah.
And the
special effects don't overcome the story. Because most of those special effects are pretty much for the bad guy.
Yep.
Who you see only when he's chasing our hero. I mean, there's a couple of scenes where the belt thing, him killing John Connor's foster parents and stuff like that.
Yep.
But most of that movie still concentrates on Arnold and isn't really about the effect. It's about, it's mostly about his relationship with the young John.
Yeah.
And that father figure kind of.
He never knew his dad.
Yeah. And I think Arnold does a really good job. I mean, Arnold's good in it. He's got some good humor in it. The music, I think, is better. I don't know why you remember that. The music is better.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they use an orchestral score the second time around with that one.
The first one had like a synthesizer. A
synthesizer score. He's the same guy who did the score, Brad Fidel.
Yeah.
But I really love the Terminator theme. That is all.
Terminator theme is also done.
Well, yeah, maybe they used an orchestral score the second time.
Yeah. Probably because you could afford to.
Probably, yeah. Because that first Terminator had a very low budget and did very well and caught fire.
Yeah. And T2 is one of the first movies to crack the $100 million budget.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it is.
And
I have an estimated budget here of $402 million, and it did really great at box office.
Yeah. Its original budget was $68 million.
Whoa, yeah.
I think Carl Poe was the one who made that movie.
Yeah.
And that was the original budget they had. But with everything that Cameron wanted, it went over budget. In fact, they went to Arnold to ask him to cut scenes. If he talked to Cameron to help them cut scenes to save on the budget. And one of the scenes they wanted to cut was when Arnold walks in that bar naked and still that guy's clothes. And Arnold said only an executive would want to cut that scene. That's a great scene in his day. So, you know, that after that, Arnold was like, I'm going to side with Cameron on this. But that, again,
yeah.
I like the fact that they came to Schwarzenegger, asked him politely if he would help them. He heard him out, and then he said, you're crazy.
Yeah, they didn't try to go around and strong-arm everybody.
Yeah, and he couldn't strong-arm at that time. Schwarzenegger was, I would say, more powerful than Cameron.
He was a huge drawback.
Yeah. Cameron had just came up with the effect, even though it set the standard for CGI effect, you know, to come. It was the first one. It was like the blueprint.
Yeah.
That was a flop.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a flop. And
the summer of 89,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it kind of deserved to be a flop, but it's not a great one.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. But it is interesting to see that because we watched that water effect thing.
Yeah.
And that really is where they decided, hey, maybe we can make the Metal Man because James Cameron was thinking about the liquid Metal Man for the original Terminator.
Right.
But he couldn't do it. He couldn't figure out how to do it so that it looked good.
It wasn't there yet, yeah.
Yeah, so when they did that for the Abyss, they're like, well, maybe we can do that. We'll move forward on the liquid Metal Man and Terminator.
But it always takes that one guy who's like, why can't we do it?
Yeah.
And then the whole thing changes, you know. And then it's kind of like with the Terminator 2, where he's like, you know, there's a lot of money riding on this movie. Like you just said, 94 to 100 million.
Yeah.
And if this effect doesn't work, then we're screwed. But we're still going to do it. Because it has to be done.
Yeah.
In a way. And now you wouldn't have any other, well, I mean, but there's that, you know, the sword has two sides, you know.
Yeah.
Double-edged sword. It's great. It gives us so many more sci-fi movies and things like that, you know, we can watch. But then there's the other side of that coin where some people don't use it as an enhancer. They use it
Crush. Because they can.
Yeah.
And I think what you're talking about, I think in recent years here, one of the best examples of that, and this is really, really sad to say, is the Star Wars prequel trilogy.
Right.
Those are just there because the effects are great and because they could do it. I just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, which... And see, here's another good point. Lucas went back and he went to his Star Wars and he added in those CGI effects.
Yeah, just because he could. It did absolutely nothing. Nothing he added into the original trilogy added anything to the story, helped the story at all. And I know you're not a big fan of Lord of the Rings at all, but if you look at those movies, they came out right around the same time as the Star Wars trilogy. Those movies, they use every single effect you can use, and they don't use them as a crutch. They use them to tell the story, and the story is around those. And those help the story. They're not there to say, you never think the movie's going to stop and Peter Jackson's going to run out and go, you see that? We did that because we could.
Yeah.
Like, you get a sense of that with the Star Wars prequel trilogy. You think George Lucas, like, oh, I did that because I could do it.
Yeah. like we, our friend Dave said today, I mean, when you think about it, Cameron has made his spearhead CGI.
Yeah.
And our friend Dave said, he goes, I wonder why he didn't go back and add CGI to the first Terminator movie.
Yeah, you know, here of late, since Avatar came out, I've been pretty down on Cameron. I didn't really like Avatar.
Yeah.
But you got to give the man credit for that.
Yeah.
You know, for doing that stuff. And he's done some great things in the past. But right now we're up against a break here, so let's see what's happening. Hitler, Genghis Khan, Pol Pot, Caligula, we're all first-class jerks. You could go back in time and kill their mother so that they never existed, would you? You would? Well, why waste an awesome technology like time travel on those losers when you have your own cabal of despots to deal with? That's right, your enemies. Now you can travel to yesterday and kill away your problems with the Temporal Displacement Matrix Cabinet. That's right, the Temporal Displacement Matrix Cabinet. Those pesky neighbors who keep stealing your yard tools? You have a driver of that Corvette, he cuts you off and flips you the bird. And them damn teeny boppers who coated your house in toilet paper and fecal matter? Well, with the Temporal Displacement Matrix Cabinet, that will help you displace your enemies forever and ever. Just step into that cabinet, them settings, track down the mother of your enemy, and pull that trigger of that gun, and watch those whole wretched bloodline vanish from history. It's that easy. Call now. Warning, if you travel back in time with the Temporal Displacement Matrix cabinet, you will be trapped in that time forever, as there is no way to bring you back. All right, we're back here, and we were just talking about a little bit about the effects there. But why don't we talk about a little bit about the story between 1 and 2. Do you think they went in a good direction with the 2 story after having ended 1 where they did?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of perfect where they did it with the Skynet being built out of the parts they found at that factory of the Terminator. So kind of in a way, the Terminator goes back in time. There's never a Skynet. There's never, you know. But then again, that's possible future.
Yeah.
That helps. I think in a way, I mean, I can't remember his name, the character's name, but played by Joe Moore.
Yeah, he was Dyson.
Dyson. He was always going to build Skynet. It was just something he wanted to do.
Yeah.
But as you find out, T3 is the military application.
Yeah, exactly. So what about the story between 2 and 3? Well, we've talked about how fun that is, but let's just talk about, do you think they did a good job telling the story there, after where 2 left off?
I think that T3 is almost, I don't want to say reboot. I hate the word reboot now. It's like the word for an English language.
Yeah.
But, it feels like they're like, they respect those movies, but they were doing their own thing. So it feels like, I don't know this because I don't know Cameron Klein, but when he wrote the original Terminator, that he was actually had plot lines in his mind that he was going to connect to the next movie.
Yeah, he may have.
Because you see a lot of stuff that he connected fairly nicely to the next movie.
Yeah, two, one, rather, they are connected with it well.
Yeah. But 2 and 3 aren't, in a way, you know. The only thing that really connects is John Connor and the Terminator. And the future is still going to happen.
Yeah, one of the things I found interesting was one of the other missions of the TX was to kill Connor's lieutenants.
Right.
Which I thought that was a pretty good thing there. And also, she was supposed to make sure that what was going to happen was that the machines took over, that their rise to power actually happened.
Right.
What do you think about the female Terminator 3? I've seen some people were upset that it was a female Terminator. That doesn't make any sense. What's the point of that?
Well, when you think about what Arnold was originally built for, and He's supposed to be a filtration human. He's actually supposed to get in among the humans.
That's right. And did we tell that story about Lance Anderson? Originally going to play the Terminator?
Yeah, he was originally supposed to play the Terminator. But then, you know, when you think about it, Arnold doesn't fit in with normal society. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a big man.
He's
a
big man.
Even if he wasn't a muscular man, he's tall.
Yeah, and I would say that this lady, Kristen Loken, I think her name is?
Yes.
Who played the TX, would have a much easier time infiltrating into those units.
Yeah, I think so, too, because...
she's attractive.
Yeah, like we were just saying, the original concept for the Terminator was he was supposed to be able to blend in, be a face in the crowd. And as Arnold was auditioning and talking to James Cameron, they both thought he'd be better than Terminator. But, yeah, I think that's a good point about that, her being the Terminator 3. I mean, you kind of see that with Robert Patrick. He's kind of a average-sized man, average-sized build.
But he can turn anybody he wants to as well.
Exactly. He's got that.
I kind of think that 3D, that cop, that's the first one he's weighing into.
Yeah.
So that's the one he's going back to. Because of the original movie. Original Terminator, that scene where she has that nightmare. I mean, I don't know if that's her nightmare or his memory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She says, tell me about where you come from, and she falls asleep.
Right, and the Terminator they show isn't Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
So right there implies that they had other models.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would think that a female model was not a bad idea.
Yeah, I wasn't put off by it or bothered by it at all either. I thought she did a great job. She seemed menacing to me.
Yeah.
But we haven't even touched on this one yet. And,
that's
I think
a good reason.
Yeah, there's kind of a good reason for that. It's my least favorite Terminator movie ever.
Yeah.
That is Terminator 4, Terminator Salvation. What about you?
I would say I agree totally with that statement.
Yeah, it came out in 2009. It's got Christian Bale in it and Sam Worthington in it. It's got Nick G directed it. I mean, my biggest problem with that, I'm watching that movie, and you watch the trailer, and it looks great. It's really disappointing when I watch it. The trailer is great. I was really intrigued by it when I came out, because Christian Bale has a line, it's like, this isn't the future I thought I knew. There's something different here. I don't understand this. Well, I don't think they played on that very well, but one of the my biggest problem with it is that if you watch Terminator 1, 2, and 3, John Connor is built up to be the leader of the resistance, the one that taught them to fight the machines. He's the go-to guy.
Right.
If you watch 4, you don't see any of that. And I thought, well, 4 would be a good chance to see that, to see, because 3 ends right there.
Right.
Where it's like, there's John Connor, he's in a bunker, he's in a great spot to, you know, and you think the natural progression would be, well, let's see John Connor unite the humans. You think that would be, but that's
right.
Not what they picked. He's
right.
A peon in it. He's nothing. He doesn't lead the resistance. What
no.
do you think about that?
Well, one, I don't think Christian Bale was a choice for John Connor. I think that's a bad choice right away. Secondly, in fairness to the movie, because you know how we like to play devil's advocate. We don't like to, like, he's supposed to be at the beginning stages of building the resistance.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I was talking to some other people about Terminator here, and that's what they say. And my counter to that is it's not the beginning stages of human resistance.
No.
In 4, there's already infrastructure. They're already fighting the machine.
Right.
You never see him really teach them, hey, this is how you kill it. And Kyle Reese even says in the first movie, he's the one who taught us how to do this. He taught us how to take down the hunter killer. He united us.
Right.
We were going to die.
But
the human race was going to be extinct. And then he says, John Connor united everybody and let us out of the camps.
And there's even a scene in the Salvation where he beat Kyle Reese, who's not in the camp.
Yep, he's not in prison.
And Kyle Reese doesn't have any trouble killing the Terminator.
Nope. They're all running around killing the Terminator like it's nothing. So,
yeah.
I mean, if that is a case of the timeline was pushed back, would it make it that aspect that different? I mean, to me, there's no reason to kill John Connor at all anymore, or even to kill Kyle Reese.
True. And here's the thing I don't understand. At this point in the game, why do we have to push the time like that? Why can't we just say it's still the start of 1992? Or start when the last movie did. There's no reason to say,
wasn't it pushed back again in 4?
Right, it was. But it didn't have to be.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that if John Connor had started out as, if we got to see him do that, and if there was something that he maybe fell from grace from the humans, and that's why he was a peon. There was nothing to explain why he was a peon. Everybody thought he was just a nut job. But he's the savior, but I didn't see any of that before. I thought that was a huge mistake.
If you want to start off, the first scene in that movie should be him coming out of that bunker for the first time.
Yeah.
That's what that movie should start with, because I have to see how the world will change. And him adapting and him becoming the leader of the group, and forming his group. And that's what it should have been. Because, like I said, we know that's not our world. We know that's an alternate world.
Yeah.
So you can start the movie wherever you want. You don't have to say, well, we got to start more on the future. Some people will say, hey, that's why they got that technology the way they did.
Yeah.
We don't know what kind of technology. We only saw glimpses and, in the first movie, what they had. They still had those those ships in the thermonuclear, those cool,
They still had a lot of the same robots.
And they still had the same robots, so why? I think the other problem is I don't like Dan Worthing.
Yeah, he's like watching a piece of wood act.
Yeah. He's not a very good actor, and his storyline in it was stupid.
Yeah.
Anybody who didn't know he was a Terminator, or the original design for a Terminator, has never seen a movie before in their life. Because very, very apparent. Now, I will say that I did like Kyle Reese in that movie. The dude who played Kyle Reese did a good job. I liked that because it was just, there's so many things they could have done. They had this great big story that was already kind of put in motion that people wanted to see. They wanted to see Kyle Reese and John Connor fight.
Yeah.
And get that, send Kyle Reese back in time. That's the story I think people wanted to see.
Yeah, that would have been cool if that's what it was. But, that brings us up to the next one. Genesis is the announced one.
Right.
And that is, as we already said, the 2015 release date. Arnold's going to be back. And supposedly he's going to be a Terminator again in that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be kept protecting.
So, yeah. Yeah, if anybody hasn't seen on... you can probably find it on YouTube now, but on the DVD of Terminator 3, they show Arnold as Captain Candy, and he is the model for the Terminator.
Right.
But he's got a southern voice, and they change his voice.
Right.
It's a funny little scene. You never been able to see
that. It still makes sense within the world of Terminator, though, because in the first movie, he was going doing that.
Yeah.
And second movie, he did as well. I'm not scared, but back to what the Terminator 4, I think a lot of people are going to be frightened of what this new movie is going to be. I hope, against all hope, that this isn't going to be like, oh, we're going to start the story over again.
Yeah, exactly. It's there's not much out on it right now. I mean, they've got some of the cast that has been announced. They've got the release year, anyway. I haven't seen it exactly, but there's a release year. I'm not even sure who the director is.
Alan Taylor.
Alan Taylor? What has he done?
He directed some episodes of Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Made Thor 2, Dark World.
Okay.
So, he can handle a budget, he can handle action, so.
Yeah.
I think he should be alright. I think my main problem is, and the only thing that scares me, is that they've cast Sarah Connor. It's going to be Emilia Clarke, who plays Daenerys Targaryen on Game of Thrones. Schwarzenegger's back. But then they have an adult John Connor in the movie.
Oh, okay.
So how is that?
Well, do you think they might be jumping back and forth in time through some kind of a flashback type thing, or do you think they might actually travel back?
Is John Connor only going to be a scene where Kyle Reese is remembering John Connor?
Yeah.
But in my mind, when I picture John Connor, I picture, like, a great general, like pictures like Patton or MacArthur or, you know, someone in that vein. So I don't know why they made him that little weak. Cause he would follow that. That weak, no confidence, you know, in what he was saying.
Exactly, because in 3 you sort of saw his confidence build.
Right.
And which I thought was interesting.
You can have it where in private moments where he's not around people, you see that, you know, might make him the right choice. But when he's in front of his soldier, he should have been, I'm making the right choice.
Yeah.
He should have sold that confidence. And
you don't want them to doubt.
Right. So, I mean, there's just so much wrong with that fourth movie. So much wrong. I know there's some people who like it better than the third one. But.
Yeah, there are.
And we talked about this morning with, we usually watch the first Terminator in honor of doing the show. The future in Terminator, the first movie, looks super horrible. It looks like the Earth is in a junkyard.
Yeah, those flashback scenes, those are great.
Yeah.
And, now, do you think that's because they had to try harder?
No,
because they had such a lower budget, and they didn't have the help of computers at all.
It looks more expensive.
Yeah, I guess it kind of does in a way. I guess 4 does sort of look a little bit more slick in certain aspects.
Right.
And it's supposed to be set in a future dystopia.
Right, but there's large grassy areas. It's beautiful and something else.
Yeah.
And there's lakes, you know, they're all covered with it. You watch that original, you think there's nothing but dirt, broken buildings, and cars playing all over the damn place.
Yeah, those guys did a great job on those scenes.
But I mean, how can you do that? You had the money. And he kind of set his vision. Jake Cameron set his vision for the future. Now, I'm not saying you must follow it. You must respect it.
Yeah. Kind of just do a left turn on it all.
Right. I mean, there's one cool thing in that Terminator 4, the motorcycle.
Oh, you remember the one cool thing?
That's the only cool thing I liked in it.
I can't remember. I haven't seen that since it came out, and I didn't like it enough to ever watch it. I might watch it again one more time.
You know, like I said, we might just, you know, double that to get finally, like, you know.
Yeah.
Everything has some merit. That's it for it. And one of the worst things they do in that Terminator 4 is they bring Schwarzenegger back as a CGI effect.
Yeah.
If you don't have the respect, go find the man.
Well, obviously he couldn't come back because he was still serving the government.
Right, and I don't think he wanted to.
But I don't think they should have put that in there at all.
He didn't have to be that. Now, I understand based on that they wanted John Connor to look at him and go, oh, that's the guy who's kind of like my dad.
Yeah.
I can't kill him.
Yeah.
But John Connor should also be, that's not him.
Yeah.
I know that's not him.
Yeah, he's not the young John Connor anymore. He shouldn't be thinking that.
At this point, he should have bought a couple of bad boys.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's get into this a little bit. There's been some controversy about the original Terminator and whether or not James Cameron plagiarized the story from Harlan Ellison, who obviously is a well-known science fiction writer who wrote a couple of his short stories were based on, Outer Limits.
Yeah.
Escape, let's say. Yeah, the Outer Limits.
You heard a couple episodes of Outer Limits.
A couple episodes of Outer Limits, one of them being The Demon of the Glass Hand. Okay, if anyone wants to go check it out. The other one being called Soldier. Now, these are the two episodes that have been cited in a lawsuit by Ellison against Cameron that he allegedly plagiarized. Now, Cameron vehemently denies that. What do you think?
Well, after reading the synopsis of both episodes, I'd like to watch them. But, you know, reading a synopsis and seeing the actual show, I might have a different opinion. I don't think there's merit to the lawsuit on both those shows. I don't think Demon of the Glass Hand has Glass Hand that tells him what to do, but.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of sounds like when you read both of them, if you combine Demon of the Glass Hand with the Soldier, then you sort of have something that's similar to the Terminator,
right.
But taken apart, we can sort of see the similarities. But then again, you got to wonder, it's like, well, if I make a movie about a robot, cyborg, that goes through time, am I going to get sued? So you
right.
kind of wonder, like, well, what's
well,
too far?
I would say based on the Soldier episode, where the guy goes back in time, tries to convince the psychiatrist he's not crazy.
Yeah.
And then there's another guy who comes back in time, killing machine.
Yeah.
Kill him. That sounds like, if I told you that plot.
Yeah, that one does sound like that, but I think they bring in that demon with the glass hand because the glass hand is actually a robot hand. That is transparent.
Right.
And you can kind of see that, but I just wonder, James Cameron vehemently denies it, but it seems like a show he might have seen.
Right.
And subconsciously, at least. Use some of those ideas, but I wonder if he had contacted Elton and given him some kind of credit if he had it all through the role.
He probably would have.
But also at the same time, Elton has been described as sort of abrasive and temperamental and argumentative. He has attacked, he's actually attacked, there's one documented public assault.
Right.
I believe it was a Nebula Awards banquet, so he's a pretty, rough, abrasive guy, really.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I watched a documentary about him.
Yeah, so maybe they had footage of that or something.
He is a jerk. He is.
So you got to kind of wonder. I can sort of see some of the similarities in there in the script of those two episodes. Like you said, I'm kind of interested in seeing those.
Well, when you think about it, in a way, with movies that are now, you know, movies past, you can probably find like little, like, oh, that's like that, you know?
Yeah.
But there's nothing original anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's only really, there's only so many storylines, really. It's what you choose
right.
to do with that storyline.
The twist you put on.
Yeah, and how you choose to tell it. So, yeah, I'm reading that kind of thing. Should we be scared? Does that mean anybody can do a lawsuit? James Cameron also had a lawsuit brought against him for Avatar. Now, when I read about that one totally sounded to me like they were just.
Honestly, I think John Ford sued James Cameron over Avatar. It's basically a cowboy and Indians movie.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder about that kind of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
We could probably do a whole show on Avatar.
Yeah, no, not with me, because I haven't seen the movie yet.
Even though, well, I didn't like the movie. So if you see it and you like it, that would be kind of an interesting thing to do. But, I mean, we're getting close to the end here. So, I mean, James Cameron, he's a filmmaker who's pushed the limits of technology and sometimes storytelling.
Yeah.
Most of his films have solid stories. I don't think Avatar does at all. But
no.
But when you see it, you'll have to decide. But for the most part, he's been a fairly solid filmmaker.
Yeah, what do you think about it? How many bad films has he made?
Well, I like Titanic.
But I don't like Titanic at all. But the other ones are good.
Yeah, for the most part, everything else is pretty good.
True Lies.
Yeah, True Lies is a fun movie.
The Abyss is an okay movie.
Yeah, The Abyss is alright, not horrible.
The Terminators, of course, are.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Prometheus Who's Falling, but I figure it's got to be at least some stupid fun in that.
Yeah.
What else did he made? I think that's all he made. Oh,
and Aliens. Yeah, we talked about Aliens.
So, I mean, he doesn't have a bad track record.
He wrote that movie Strange Days.
That's a great movie.
And I thought that was awesome. I mean, he didn't direct it, but
yeah.
He wrote that. That was great.
He also helped write the storyline of Point Break. I like Point Break.
Yeah, which, by the way, is being remade.
Yeah.
Point Break is fun. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you know what your favorite Terminator movie was?
That's T2. I think Terminator 2 just today is the best. Just so it expands upon the ideals
yeah.
of the first movie, and it has a lot more science fiction. The first one, like I said, the first one's a simple story. Robot chases man, and woman, because he wants to kill woman about the future. That's what's happening. That's the future of happening. So, there's not a lot of science fiction ideals. That's because, you know, every time they ask Kyle Reese about something, he goes, I don't know. My God, I'm a guy with a gun. I don't
yeah.
shoot people. He's a soldier.
Yeah. He just had a listener send us a message. His favorite Terminator movie is The Terminator.
Yeah.
So there's I think I said earlier my favorite one is T2 versus T2. There's one both of Terminator. Yeah.
We hear that a lot. We heard that a lot. Ask people around that we know, our friends, stuff like that. And a lot of them say the Terminator.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's, a lot of times it's true of us too. It's the first thing we see. That's the one we fall in love with.
Yeah.
So it's hard for us to judge anything against it.
Yeah, I mean, the Terminator's a, like we've said many times already in this show, the Terminator is an excellent film. It's an excellent science fiction film. It's a great 80s film. I mean, when you watch it, it's the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And the 80s were great.
Yeah. We were talking today about that. Like, you know, some kid who watched this movie for the first time is going to watch her run up to a payphone and go, why didn't she use her cell phone?
Yeah. What? Oh, they didn't have cell phones in 84.
Yeah. But they had big giant cyborg robots too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of interesting talking to some really younger people who haven't seen that at all.
That is not to say that needs to be remade, be modernized in any way.
No.
It's perfect the way it is.
Yeah, that is one of those movies that should never be remade.
No.
But, I mean, it's happening quite a bit. A couple weeks ago, we just did RoboCop. I never thought they'd remake that, but they did.
No. No. Like I said, I'm scared that this Genesis is going to be kind of a restart. But at least they have Schwarzenegger back.
I mean, one of the big, you could tell Arnold was not in for it. That's the one. That was a big problem. He left a big hole in that. So
yeah.
I wonder if they actually can make other Terminator movies successful without Arnold.
You can. But at one point, you're going to have to.
Yeah, you are. And that's a sad...
That would be a sad thing.
Sad truth.
So, but they need to kind of start establishing a new Terminator.
Yeah.
In a way. So, I think they can do it. And it's all about story. It's all about good writing. And just people with passion making that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we had a great time here chatting about the Terminator. We hope you enjoyed that. Well, you got any final thoughts on that?
All you can say is if you haven't seen any movies, then I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Were you shot by a Terminator as an attack or something? See the movies. They're great. And I hope Terminator 5 will be a great movie. I do.
Yeah.
And I will see it.
Yeah, I'll second that. If you haven't seen the Terminators and you're a fan of science fiction, check them out. I mean, it's a great blending of science fiction and action. And there is some heady stuff in there also. So, let's see. I hope 5 is better than 4 also.
And since this is a show about Terminator, and it's been said in every Terminator movie, should you say we'll be back?
Yeah, we'll say that. We'll be back. Next week. So we've had a great time doing this Hour of Power special show. So we will see you next week.
Yeah.